God is good, amen. It's great to be here this morning. If we can just bow our heads for a couple of minutes and allow the Spirit of God just to still our minds. You know, sometimes we walk into church on a Sunday morning with so much clutter upstairs. So why don't we just start with this little exercise this morning? Just close our eyes, bow our heads, and allow the wind of the Spirit to remove all the clutter. Hallelujah. Jesus. Lord, we just love you this morning. We thank you, Father God, that you are in the midst of us. We thank you, Father God, that you want to do what only you can do. We thank you, Jesus, you want to save. You want to heal. You want to deliver. You want to set free. You want to teach. You want to preach. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would encounter each and every one of our lives in this place. Lord, your word says that you ordain our steps. So you have brought us here today. Every one of us, regardless of where we have come from, you have brought us here today. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, Lord, would you open up the eyes of our understanding that we go out this door today knowing you more and more and more in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's great to be here. We've been here for a few days. It's been quite amazing. We've had wonderful stories, a wonderful time with the Lord, and I trust he's not finished yet. Amen. So I want to talk this morning about the course. Okay, come up here for a minute, Scottish man. Say the course in your best Scottish. Course.
The course.
I said that to somebody yesterday morning, and he says, course? It's the course. So it says, he became a course on the cross. Amen. That we no longer have to walk in the course. Amen. So can you believe this morning? Hold on, just give me a second. You have to go back there. Okay. That's gone. Can you believe this morning that the Lord Jesus took the course upon himself? That we no longer have to walk in the course, but in the blessings of God. Can you believe that? I think a lot of Christians struggle in believing that their past is wiped away, that their sins are forgiven, that my life now is hidden in Christ Jesus. My testimony is a testimony to what God does when he encounters a man that is dead. My testimony is an encounter of what God can do with a man that he finds bound. My testimony is a testimony about what God can do when he finds a man. When he finds a man who was broken. See, this is our Jesus. We say Jesus the same yesterday. So he saved us yesterday. We say that he's the same today. And we say he's the same tomorrow. But sometimes in the mix of it all, we miss the Jesus of today. We're safe in our salvation. We're safe in our future. But Jesus is missing in the now. And I believe that's what God wants to restore in every one of our lives. That I'm with you today. I'm with you in the mix and the mess. I'm with you in the pain. I'm with you in the sickness. I'm with you in the valley. I'm with you on the heights. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I don't let you go when you're in the palm of my hand. Nobody can snatch you out of her. So he became a curse. So everything in my past before Jesus is gone. I was a hopeless drug addict. I'm no longer addicted. I was dead in my sin. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint in him. Amen. I'm a saint in Jesus. I'm no longer a filthy, vile, wretched sinner. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. My addiction is gone. My sin is gone. My shame is gone. My pain is gone. Amen. You know, we talk about curses, and what I've been hearing this week, a lot from people is that I'm carrying a bit of that generational thing. Generational thing. I'm acting the way I'm acting because my granny 800 years ago was a bit of a loose lady. So that's why I'm watching porn. Come on, folks, you know. It's a generational thing. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's a generational thing. He became the curse. Jesus, when he died on that cross, his blood was sufficient. The cross was sufficient. When he said it is finished, it was finished. It is done. The Bible says that I'm crucified with Christ Jesus. It's no longer I who live, but he lives in me. The curse has been broken, folks. Amen. I'm no longer under the curse. I'm under the blessing. Instantly when I gave my life to Jesus, my life was changed and transformed. You want me to walk with you? You want me to walk with you? I'm going to walk with you. I'll tell you where I'm going to walk you to. It takes one step. It doesn't take 6 weeks. It doesn't take 6 months. It doesn't take 6 years. It takes one step. And then you fall on your knees. At the foot of the cross, at the foot of the cross, where you receive forgiveness, where you receive freedom, where you receive healing, deliverance, at the foot of the cross. We have these little offenses, and sometimes we can make them into some sort of a circus where the man of God comes in, the evangelist. It's not a great man. It's a great God. I can't do a miracle. I have never, ever delivered anybody. Never. I've never healed anybody in my life. I have not set one captive free. What's so great about me? There's nothing great about me. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, who's living now as a saint in his kingdom. Amen. Amen. I walk in his kingdom. I live in his kingdom. I breathe in his kingdom because he is all I have. I don't have an add-on. I don't have a second. So I'm going to trust what he says about me. And when he says the curse has been broken off my life at his cross, I'm going to take his word for it. His word, it says, is a lamp unto my feet. So if I'm not trusting his word, I'm not walking in his light. I'm getting this. His word is above all things, as is his name. His word is above all things, as is his name. His word is as precious as his name. So if he says walk in the light, I'm going to walk in the light because his word says it. If he says the curse is broken, I'm going to take him at his word. See, I believe in the full benefits of his cross. I believe in the full benefits of his cross. I believe when he said it was finished, it was finished. And I'm here today to tell you, sister, brother, you don't have to walk in the course of your past. You don't have to walk in addiction, because when he sets you free, the Son, you are free indeed. I loved what that lady said this morning. God says, you don't want to come here. I didn't want to get up at 8:30. This is during the night for us in Dublin. We had to get up really early. This takes a lot of work to do me hair for 2 hours and all of that. But I believe God ordains our steps. So God has us here this morning. And as that lady says, he has you here, even if you didn't want to come. And he has you here, not because of the great man of God, but because of Jesus. Jesus became a curse so we, his children, can walk in the blessing. The blessing of God. The same blessing that he gave unto Abraham, his heirs in Christ Jesus. There's a piece of scripture in Joel, and it talks about my past being behind me. And all I see is destruction. But when I look forward, all I see is the Garden of Eden. The cross is the Garden of Eden. The cross is the way in which God ordained us all to live. At the cross, there's forgiveness for sins. At the cross, there's resurrection life. There's resurrection power. We don't bow to man, we bow to him. When we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he raises us up. He raises us up. He became a curse. I can testify to that. I'm sure there's many that can testify to that. God is the same today. He was the same yesterday. He's the same in our future. We can trust him for our salvation. We can trust him for our eternity. Why can't we trust him in the middle of it? Like, why can't we trust God in our walk? Why do we go to add-ons? Why do we go outside of the cross and look for help from external things when we have the cross? The power is still at the cross. The blood is still sufficient for us today. So who could take a drug addict that's hopelessly addicted to drugs and in a moment change them? I've been to shrinks, folks. I've been that way. I've done it all. I've been in rehab 14 times trying to get my head together before Jesus. I hate being a drug addict. Nobody likes being depressed. Nobody likes being addicted. Nobody likes being bound. But that's why Jesus came. To set us free. To give us life and life in abundance. Do you believe that? Can you believe that this morning, that the Lord loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son? He sent these one that you, it says, for the hope set before him. And I know this goes be crazy in religious mindsets, but let me tell you this. It says, for the hope set before him, he endured the cross. Can I tell you what that hope was this morning? Can I tell you what that hope was this morning? Look at your neighbor and say, you are the hope. you are the hope. For the hope set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the scorn, the shame, the pain, the wickedness, the spitting. He endured it all because of you. And we don't like saying that because God says he loved the world. But no, we personalize it. I know God loves me so much that he sent his one and only son. That if I believe in him, I will not perish, but have eternal life. For God says he sent his son into the world to save it, but not to condemn it, but to save the world through him. He became the curse. His cross is suffice. His blood is sufficient. No matter what you are facing, no matter what you are going through today, Jesus is still alive. Jesus still reigns. Jesus is risen from the grave. Amen. 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 You know, the apostles in the book of Acts, they have an emphasis. And I seen it there as I was studying the book of Acts over the last few months. And it says, every time they went out to outreach, there was an emphasis on the risen king. Peter starts it off and Paul brings it through. You killed the author of life. You killed, he came to save you and you killed him. You killed the one who came to save. And it says they were cut to the bone. Cut to the bone. He says, what must we do to be saved? Repent. Repent is a byword. It's being used too much within Christian circles in a sense where it's lost its value. But repentance means freedom. Repentance means forgiveness. It means life and life in abundance. When I come to the foot of the cross and I ask Jesus to forgive me, he gives me his glory and he takes my muck. He takes my dirt. He takes my guilt. He takes my shame and he gives me his glory. This is the God I'm talking about. This is the God that I encountered 23 years ago. Can I say, folks, his love has not faded out of my life. His love didn't grow hot and didn't grow cold. It's blue. It's blue. It burns within my heart because I know what my Jesus did. I know what Jesus done in my life. I was a wreck when I came to him. I was suicidal. I was depressed. I was anxious. I was fearful instantly. And I mean instantly. Instantly. He changed my life. I mean instantly. The curse was broken when I knelt at his cross. And I say this to folks, I had a vision of Jesus on that cross. And I was on my knees. His conviction came upon me. And he brought me to my knees. And as I looked up in my mess, I seen him hanging on the cross. Honestly. Shouldn't have to try to convince Christians of that. This is my testimony. I had a vision of Jesus on the cross and he's hanging there. And I'm in a bundle on the floor, messed up, suicidal, depressed, addicted, wanting to end it all. I hated my life. I hated my miserable existence. And I looked up and I seen Jesus. And he should have judged me. I deserved his judgment. I deserved his wrath. I didn't deserve his mercy because I was a wicked, evil man. I done wicked, evil things. I didn't deserve his mercy. He should have pointed a finger at me. He should have judged me because I deserved it. And I knew I deserved it. I didn't turn around at that moment and say, my granny made me do it. I didn't turn around at that moment and say, well, if my dad hadn't have been an addict, I wouldn't have been. In that moment, I said, Lord Jesus, I have sinned against you and you alone, and I have done evil in your sight. And I know that my sins has put you on that cross. I know it was my life, the life that I was living, has put you on that cross. And I am asking you today, Jesus, to forgive me. And he should have been pointing the finger. He should have been judging me. He should have been condemning me. But as I'm looking into his face, all I could feel, and I mean feel, not even see, all I could feel was love. All I could feel was love. I never experienced a love like that. I've never experienced, I didn't know what love was. Nobody ever gave me love. And when they gave me love, I didn't accept it because I didn't know what love was. My idea of love was thwarted. It's called lust. Wasn't love. I didn't know what love was. And I'm looking at this man on this cross loving me. Loving me so much that here he is laying down his life for me. Taking my filth, my shame, my pain upon himself. And showing me love that I've never experienced before in my life. Well, I tell you what that love done for me that day. It raised me up off the floor. See, we come to Jesus on our knees, but he doesn't leave us there. He says, I will lift your head above your shame. I will lift your head above your enemies. I will lift your head above your dirt and your mess. I will put a robe upon you and take off your grave clothes. I will give you beauty for ashes. I will turn your grief and your mourning into dancing and to joy. See, he doesn't leave you on the floor. But we come to Jesus. We come to the foot of the cross. We stop blaming our ancestors. Stop blaming our ancestors for things that we have done, for things that we are doing. We come to the cross. And if we truly come to the cross, if I was to do an altar call here and now and say, come on, you've got stuff going on in your life, you need saving. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to walk a road with you. I'm going to lead you in one step. And that's to the foot of the cross. We have to get over that, folks. Walking the roads with people if we're not leading them to the cross. If you're only walking with people on a road, it's a very, very, very long road. And I can tell you at the end of that road, there's no freedom. There's no freedom. There's no salvation. There's no healing. We're pandering to demons. Pandering to demons. They're like cats. They love to be rubbed. And that's all we're doing. If we're not leading them to the cross. And that's only one step. It's not a walk. It's a walking. It's not a walking. It's a walking. It says, walk out your salvation with fear and with trembling. Recognize the awe and the majesty and the glory of God, the one in which you serve. Understand his greatness in every area of your life, that he is who he says he is. He is Jesus, the deliverer. He is Jesus, the healer. He is Jesus, the savior. He loves to save. He delights in saving. It's the reason he came. To save. You feel lost this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you feel lost. You feel bound this morning. You've tried everything and nothing's worked. Hallelujah. I praise God for you. You're in a good place. You're in an amazing place this morning if you feel lost. If you feel bound. Because I've got a friend to introduce you today. And he's a friend above all friends. He's a king above all kings. It says he's no respecter of persons. What he's done for me, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Delights, loves to heal, loves healing. It's his business. Loves to heal people. Loves setting captives free. It's only one walk, folks. Jesus breaks the curse. We talk about soul ties. It's another thing that came up this week. Soul ties. Picture of soul ties in the Bible is men sleeping with women, becoming one with them in spirit. We're not supposed to be doing that outside of marriage, folks. If you feel you have a soul tie and you're walking it out, stop walking it out. Stop walking out soul ties. Repent. Yes. Repent. And he breaks the course of that. He's given us something in which we can receive freedom. And it's his cross. His cross is sufficient. His blood is suffice in all things. Are you getting what I'm saying here, folks? Because I know the Church of Jesus Christ. I travel around and I talk to saints and to people. I was talking to a man the other night and I was talking about me being suicidal. And he's a Christian 20 or 30 years. And he says, Tommy, you're telling my story. I want to end it all. I'm in church 35 years, but I want to end it all. Because I don't feel there's a way out of this. There is a way. He is the way. He is the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. That's what he says. And it's not just words on a page. It's not just words on a page. It's not something that I read. It's something that I experience. I experience his word in my life. It's not just a book. It's supernatural. It has the power to transform a crazy mind. But we're not reading his word. And our minds are in clutter. Because only through his word is our minds transformed. We read about the Prince of Peace, or we can experience the Prince of Peace. You know, John MacArthur got into trouble there. Now, I don't believe everything about John MacArthur, but some of the stuff he says is good. And he says this, there was a big hullabaloo about him. Do you know hullabaloo? I have to be careful not saying rude words over here. But that's out of Disney. But he got into a lot of trouble there a couple of years ago. And he says, for the Christian, there should be no trouble in the mind. There should be no such thing as ADHD for the Christian. This is him, not me. And this is what he said. He says, the reason the Christian is struggling in their mind is because they're not being renewed by his word. And I believe that, and I'm going to tell you how I believe it and why I believe that, will I? Because when I miss out on a few days of his words, the stinking thinking comes back. The stinking thinking comes back. My flesh reverts back to who I used to be. My flesh goes back to that place. The Word of God says that we wrestle not against flesh, but we crucify it. We wrestle against powers and principalities, but folks, we crucify the flesh. We die to the flesh. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Are you getting this? So I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about your mental state before Jesus today being put right. I'm talking about your deliverance. I'm talking about your healing. I think that lady, I don't know where she's gone, and something over there. God wants to heal. It says, put on the full armor of God. You know that? Put on the full armor of God that you can withstand the wiles of the devil. We have an enemy. It's another thing we've lost in church. That our wrestle, our fight, our war is not against flesh and against blood, but against powers and principalities. And the enemy has a plan for your life as much as God has. And we need as Christians to put the devil underfoot. God has given us authority to do that. He's under my feet. Put on the full armor of God. Helmet of salvation. I don't listen to anything that's outside of his glory. He says every good and perfect thing comes down from the heavenly host. I'm free today, folks, not because I'm anything special. I'm free because I know the special one. I'm free today because I walk with the special one. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, he will rest in the shadow. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of my God. He's my God. I know his capabilities. I know his capabilities. I know he loves me. How do I know he loves me? He's proved it to me by Jesus Christ. I don't have to ask, prove your love to me, prove your love to me, prove your love to me. Crucify. It's not about me, me, me. It's about him, him, him. Crucify the flesh. Stop listening to the enemy trying to rob you of your God-given destiny and purpose and life. He's a thief. Comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's not just for the unbeliever. He wants to thwart your destiny and purpose in Jesus Christ. God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Why are a lot of us living in lack? Maybe we're just not taking hold of the promise. You says, you prosper me. We're going health, wealth, and prosperity there. I am health, wealth, and prosperity. I don't believe in that teaching, but I know he heals. I know he supplies. And I know he prospers. He's all sufficient. El Shaddai. He's all sufficient. I don't even know what time it is here. I lost my alarm. But we're going to do something very special now. And we're going to get really honest with the Lord. Can I just throw a disclaimer in? Have you understood me, by the way? Jesus. That's always a bonus. But can I throw a disclaimer in here this morning? See, this man, crazy Irish man standing up here, nothing. I don't have any special talents, not even giftings. I don't have any resources. I'm not a professional. I can't help you with your mental health. I cannot do that. But I know a man who can. And let us get honest before the Lord here this morning, completely honest as we do this. God has brought you here this morning to hear his voice. His Holy Spirit has been pulling at the strings of your heart. I can see it. I can see the Spirit of the living God at work. And there, as Auntie said, this is the day of your salvation. And salvation comes in many forms. He says he has saved, he will save, and he is going to save. So salvation comes in many forms. And you may be a Christian, but you need saved from yourself today. You've made it all about you when it should have been all about him. So Jesus wants to save you from yourself today. Maybe you've listened to a lie from the enemy and you've took hold of sickness or death, bondage, forgetting that he that sets you free is free indeed. God wants to speak to you today. And I'm not, I don't want to make this a circus. Honestly, folks, it's not a show. It's not a show. There's not an amazing person up in the pulpit. But the Spirit of the living God is here today. And where the Spirit of the living God is, there's liberty. And you know the liberty that you need today. And every one of us in this place have needs. Every one of us in this place today have wants. There's a lot of us in this way, in this place today, and we've lost our way. And we settle for just doing church. And your life has become quite stagnant because of this. Maybe you asked God for a miracle and he didn't turn up the way that you wanted him to. And you've become quite offended with the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you loved him once. You loved him. You are willing to follow him anyway. And then through the toils and the pressures and the burdens of life, you've allowed that love to grow cold. He's here today. And he wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to renew the fire that you once had. He wants to pour out that love into every fiber of your being, that you will spend the rest of your days crying out, Abba, 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 you heard me, Abba.
Abba, you love me. You love me. Abba. He wants you today to come back to him. Not to come back to church. Of evangelist, a pastor, a preacher, but come back to him. Because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves you more than you can ever understand. His love for you cannot be measured. He loves you. And because you messed up didn't mean he stopped loving you. He didn't leave. You did. He didn't walk out. You did. So why not today come back to the Savior of your soul? You're fed up being fed up. Sick of being sick. There has to be more, Lord. There has to be more than this, than just this. You've called me to do extraordinary things in you. And I feel my life is just mundane. Allow the Spirit of the living God to lift you up out of your pit today and set you free. Whatever that pit is, I don't know, he knows. And this is how we do it. I'm going to ask you today, before God, being honest, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Don't say, I've been coming to church with me mom and me dad for a few years and I've learned about him. That's only learning about him. I'm asking, do you know him? Do you know him and maybe you forsook him and you walked away and you're backslidden? The Lord is saying, come back to me. I'm not finished with you. I'm not finished with you. And this is the way we're going to do this, folks. This is the way we're going to do this. And I would say this. Don't allow the enemy to take you out. Don't listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what he says. I want everybody in this room just now just to bow your heads. Not to me. You're not bowing it to me, folks. Everybody, just bow their heads. I don't want to embarrass one person. That's not what God has come to do. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Do you know that he came born of a virgin? Supernaturally. He came to seek and to save his own people. But his own people hated him. And they killed him. They crucified him. It says they put him in a tomb. They hung him on a cross. He died on that cross. But see that cross, folks. When he was on that cross, he took the sins of the world. Past, present, and even into the future. He took the sins of man upon himself. That means that when he hung on that cross, your sin was there. Your sin was on that cross. When he hung there, he hung with your sin. He hung there with your shame that sin creates. Your pain that's sin creates. It says they spit on him. They spit upon him. And they mocked him. And they jeered him. And he says he saved others. He saved others, but look, he cannot save himself. And he ridiculed him. And he mocked him. But he wasn't thinking of those around him that day. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about you. 2,000 years later. And he says that if you confess your sins, he will forgive your sins. So I'm going to ask you today, if you don't know him, he wants to know you. And I'm going to ask you with me, with every head bowed, I don't want to embarrass you. Take off the mask if you've been coming here 20 or 40 years and you don't know him. Take off the mask. Leave it at the cross. Get right with Jesus today. Today is the day of your salvation. It's not how high you can jump, but how low you can go. And if you go low before the Lord today, he will lift you up out of that pit. So I'm going to ask you, in joining me, with every head bowed, putting up your hand, and saying to God this morning, I want to know you, God. Don't look at anybody else. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. There's more. Thank you, Lord. There's more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, there's more. God has brought you here today to get right with him. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, there's more. Stop playing the hypocrite. Stop just coming to church for your mates. I want to come for you, Jesus. Put your hands up if you don't know him this morning. If you haven't encountered him. If you don't have a story, thank you, Jesus. Come on. He's waiting. With all the time in the world, folks. Is there another? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is that another? Come on, Lord. Don't let this moment go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a glorious day. You know, heaven's getting ready to rejoice. But what about you, saint? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The conviction of the Lord is here. Come on, the Lord is pulling at the strings of your heart. Come on. Don't weep in failure. Weep in joy. Allow the Spirit of the living God to touch you. Come on, he's still convicting. I'm waiting. There's more. Thank you, Jesus. Is that another? Come on, get right with God today. This is your opportunity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm just loving these lay hands going up. Hallelujah. Come on, is that another? I can do this all day, folks. This is what I love to do. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So we're going to pray with our brothers and sisters who have just put up their hands. And then somebody from the team that's seen you is going to come around and they're going to talk to you, explain what just happened in your life and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us bow our heads in reverence to God. And let us pray with our brothers and sisters that are after putting up their hands with a shout of joy unto our God. Amen. And would you please repeat after me, Lord Jesus. Come on, that's not everybody, folks. Everybody. Can I ask you a question? Just a little thing before we go any further. You know when you ask people, family of God, to join in and come alongside brothers and sisters as they're giving their lives to the Lord, do you think that's sinful and shameful in a sense? I don't want my neighbor to see me give my heart to Jesus again. No, because it's not. We are joining with heaven's anthem. Rejoicing with one sinner. So we, as his people, should actually be standing to our feet or bowing on our knees because of what Jesus has just done. Never lose the awe and the wonder of one person repenting and coming back to Jesus. Because there's thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions, hands raised around the throne in heaven, starting to lift up a song. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, for with his blood he purchased men for God. I'm going to ask you today with me to join with our brothers and sisters crying out unto God and saying, Lord Jesus, we come before you today and we ask you, Jesus, to forgive us for sinning and falling short of your glory. We stand with our brothers and sisters and inviting you into every area of our lives to be Lord, to be Savior over every area of our lives. Lord, we rejoice in the fact that you are here. And you delight in saving people. Lord Jesus, we ask you today for the gift of your Holy Spirit to give me strength, to give me power, to give me life and life abundance. That I may walk out this walk and live in your abundance from this day into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let us stand. A standing ovation, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we're not finished yet. This has not just been about them. It's been about every one of us in this room today. And the Lord has seen your heart. And he has read your minds. And I believe God wants to restore you today from your backslidden state, from your lukewarmness. I believe God wants to reinforce his love into every area of your life today. He still stares with love. He still stands with open arms
And this is your day to come back to Jesus, to get right with the Lord, because He brought you here today. And wherever I didn't want to disrespect or embarrass those folks that gave their hearts to Jesus, this is going to be a bit more bolder. And I believe the Lord has opened up the altar here today. This is the altar. This is where we're going to bow before the Lamb and say, Lord, I've gone astray. I've been doing things my way, except your way. And Lord Jesus, I'm going to come to your throne. I'm going to bow before your cross today. Because I've been blaming somebody else for my mess. But I want to say to you today, as David did in his mess, against you and you alone have I sinned and done evil in your sight. And I want to invite you, saint that has gone astray, to be courageous, not to be embarrassed, but stand up for Jesus, because He is worthy. He is worthy of your life. He is worthy of your praise. He is worthy of your repentance. And I'm going to ask you today, if you haven't been living according to the will of God and the word of God, I'm going to ask you to come and bow before Jesus. And this is going to take boldness and courage on your part. But if you give Him an inch, the Lord will run a mile with you. So folks, here's the altar. I'm inviting you to come and get right with the Lord today. In Jesus' name. And bow before me, bow before Him. Bow before the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. He is worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What about you that have been running away from His will and serving your own purposes, and you received eternal life and you received a glorious resurrection in Him, but now you're living according to your own will, and God has put a Pacific on you? You know, He says He wove us together in our mother's womb. He set us apart. And folks, can I say that God has gifted you in a way that He has not gifted me? And you are not using His gift in the church and in your nation. What about you this morning? Do you want the plan and the purpose of God to be reactivated in your life? I'm going to invite you to come to the altar today. Maybe you've been living for your husband or your wife or your children or your job or your career or your wallet, and you know God has a specific plan on your life, I'm going to invite you to come. Folks, this altar is going to stay open. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, He's beautiful. He's beautiful. Hallelujah. He's beautiful. Jesus is beautiful. He says He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He's beautiful. He's loving. Maybe you're here today and you've had a father that has been abusive.
All he's done is ridiculed you and put you down and abused you all your life, and you find a hard, even as a Christian, to trust your Heavenly Father. And your Heavenly Father's been wanting to change you, wanting to love you, want to share his kingdom with you. And because of your experience here by your earthly father, you've rejected your father's in heaven's provision and intimacy. Is that you today? Come on, the altar's here. The altar's here. Healing from father wounds is here. Jesus, let us bow our heads. Let us lift our hands, folks standing in the back. Let us lift our hands together to heaven.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we thank you that you are here and you see each and every one of us. And we thank you there is grace for those who humble themselves before you today. And it takes great humility to step forward, to be here, to step forward, to acknowledge your need. And as you acknowledge your need, as you submit your heart, as you humble yourself, the Lord of Lords will pour freely into you. And so, Sovereign God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we ask you now for the oil to be poured out, Lord God, that you would heal every wounded heart. That you would heal every wounded heart. We thank you for the cross that still speaks today of freedom and healing and deliverance. And we pray for those with troubled minds, King Jesus. And we pray right now, Sovereign God, for your peace. Ora bakiana. Your peace. Your peace. Your peace. Your peace. To flood every heart and every mind. Those who are sick, who need healing in their bodies, oh God. Right now, we pray your healing. We pray the wind of your spirit right now. Urabakiana. Urabasia rabasidiyadana. Shaya Rabaki.
Yurabasina Sasusuria Tirabasu. Jesus. Everything about us, Jesus. You know our straying ways. Oh Lord, we ask you, Jesus, this morning that you would bring healing. Lord, that you would bring healing here this morning. Lord, that you would restore the years that the devil has robbed from our lives. Lord, that you would bring healing and restoration, Lord, into every area of our lives. Lord, we confess this morning, we just need you. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We haven't been feeling your love. We need your love. We're cold, Lord. We're cold. We're lonely. We need you. We need you, Jesus. Lord, we confess our need for you and for you alone. You and you alone. Allow the Holy Spirit just to minister to you. It says he's the comforter. Allow him to comfort you this morning. He's the counselor. He understands you. And he wants to counsel you this morning. Change my heart. Change my heart, Jesus. Remove the blockages. Remove the callousness. I want to feel your love. I want to feel your presence. Oh, my child, the Lord would say to you this morning that you've been tormented for too long. That the enemy has robbed you for too long. But thus says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts. This far and no further. Thus says the Lord of hosts. This far and no further. My peace, my peace, my peace, My peace. My peace, says the Lord. My peace, says the Lord. I give you. My peace, says the Lord. My peace. I give you. My peace, I leave you. You see, my child, you see, my child. It wasn't with rubies. It wasn't with gold. It wasn't with silver that I redeemed your life. It wasn't with the precious things of this world that I broke that curse. I redeemed you. I redeemed you from that curse with my blood. With my blood. And my blood, my child, delivers you from darkness. My blood over your life speaks a better word than darkness, than demons. Than shame, than pain, than rejection. My blood speaks a better word than fear. For you, my child, are called by my name. By my name. The name that is above all names. At the mention of my name, Jesus, demons flee. Demons flee at the mention of the name of Jesus. Demons flee.